wondering about this king. So welcoming the king, worshipping the king, and wondering about. If you go down to the next slide, and the next one, because that's me. We're going to start at welcoming the king, and if you go one more. So if Jesus walked into your town today, I wonder what kind of welcome would he get? I wonder what kind of welcome would we want to give him personally? How would we want to be welcoming Jesus? How would we want to make the way for Jesus to come through? What does it look like for us to roll out the carpet? You know, that's why they put down their coats and stuff. It was a sign of a royal welcome. And how we welcome people really matters, doesn't it? There's a story from one of our group team up in kind of towards Durham Way. And they went, invited by a church, to work together with the church to start a new youth project using sport on the local park area. So the church had been praying, they'd all been praying over this space. And the church team arrived. And this one kid, we'll call him Leo, was not happy that they were coming into his space. And so Leo made it known to everyone that he wasn't so happy about this. He was vaguely interested in a game of football, but he wasn't too happy about the fact that they'd come into his space. And so as they got their equipment out and tried to start the session, this boy decided to stand in the middle of where they were working and wee. He were urinated in the middle of what they'd just set up to make his point that they were not welcome there. And the team did what all the gracious people do, apart from thinking about the safeguarding paperwork. They picked up their equipment, they moved across sideways, and they set up on the other side, and they kept going. He was the only child who behaved like that, thankfully, and they kept on going. Week in, week out, it started with Leo being by the gate. I don't want you to come. I don't want you to be here. This is our space. You're ruining it. Then before long, Leo stopped saying that so much. He just stood by the gate and watched them come in. And in a little bit after that, he suddenly said, can I join in too? And they said, yeah, of course you can join in. And he said, you'd let me join in even after what I did? And they said, yeah, we'll let you join in. And he couldn't believe that. And he thought it was a bit strange, really. Because imagine if you did something like that at school, there's a pretty hefty consequence. But these guys were so determined. I mean, this kid had been prayed for probably more than any other child in the group by that point. A year down the line, they do this thing at the end where they all get together in a huddle. Because that's what sports teams do, don't they? They get in a huddle. But they use the huddle as a time to pray. And the leaders say, when I pray, I just tell God what I'm thinking about something. So right now, we're going to say some thank you prayers. We're going to pray for different things. And so each week, they've been doing this prayer, this huddle, to say a prayer. Most of the time, just the team saying prayers, saying thank you, God, for everyone here. Thank you, God, for the weather. Please be with those who are struggling. And over time, others in the group started saying, oh, can you also pray for different things? Just over a year after, they're in this huddle, and Leo says, I'm going to lead the prayers today. And he stood there in the middle of this pitch with his arms around these other people and said, thank you, God, that you sent Jesus into the world. Thank you that these people have shown me what love looks like. Amen. Now, none of the team could pray after that. They're all too busy crying. But the difference of the welcome, the hostility that started, that turned into a child's life being changed by the love of Jesus, because they kept turning up week in, week out. They didn't give up. They kept turning up, believing they were doing the right thing. And I love that, because I think sometimes when we think about what welcome would Jesus get today, we think about that hostile welcome. That some people go, no, no, we don't want religion here. And yet there's more and more stories of what God is doing up and down the country, especially in the lives of children and young people. What would it look like for us to welcome the King today? What would it look like for, as a church, you to continue, you've already done it for many years, to think about afresh, what does it look like to welcome the King today? And if I can have the next slide, and then move into actually, what does it look like to worship the King? Because ultimately, that's what the crowd were doing. It was spontaneous worship, spontaneous singing, spontaneous praying. No one had said, guys, Jesus is going to arrive on this time at this date. So if you could all be ready, let's go. It was Jesus was arriving. They'd heard about him and they gathered. And I always think that's quite fascinating because we live in a culture today, don't we, where our calendars block out the time. We're going to be here at this time. We're going to do this at this time. That wasn't like that. It was something's going on. We can go and find out straight away about it. If I go to the next slide. Oh, good. That's it. Keep that one. They're shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna meaning save, please, or save, we pray. And they're singing and they're shouting the words from Psalm 118, verse 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this got me thinking about, actually, where do we see people worshipping the King today? I have the privilege of working with many different churches across, I cover Oxfordshire, Gloucestershire, Berkshire, and some other bits as well at the moment. And there's a girl I've been meeting with, and she was on a youth weekend away that I spoke at back in February. And she said to me, I've been running the CU in the school, and it's had three people, and we're praying. And my big prayer is that we're going to get 15 people to the CU. And I was like, oh, I love that. I love that that's your prayer. I love that that's what you're thinking about and praying into. And then she sat there and she said, but after what you guys have just talked about, I'm beginning to think that I've been praying too small. And I thought, I love that. Like 3 to 15 is amazing growth of anything. The week after the weekend away, she was back at school. She sent me a message. Guess what? 15 turned up at CU this week. And then the next week message, guess what? 22 turned up at CU this week. And she said, and they're all fascinated about Jesus. They're all coming because they've heard something about Jesus and they want to ask their questions. And this isn't a group of any teachers. There's no youth workers turning up to do it. This is the young people who have faithfully prayed in that classroom and now others are turning up. Across in Winchester, so I was working before I moved up, I was covering Hampshire area. There was a group there that was set up because of kids in the school who wanted to set up a CU. And there was that awkwardness because for some of the parents, they're like, oh, I don't want my kid to get bullied. And their kids are going, I want to set up a CU. And so they had help from the local youth work team who were going in to do drop-in youth sessions. They used to park a double-decker bus on the playground once a week to do a drop-in youth club at lunchtime, because why not go to where the kids are? And so they'd been running that. They had a good relationship with the school. First week, they turn up, and they've got these two kids who've asked for it. And they're like, guys, it's just so great that you're here. We're going to pray with you, and we're going to believe for great things. 3 weeks later, 70 turn up to the Christian Union because they're fascinated and they want to know more about who Jesus is. Isn't God amazing and in work in incredible ways? And often at the moment, we're seeing more and more through the prayers of young people who want to see great things happen. But there's a hunger amongst families too. Just across in the Forest of Dean, I've been connecting with a guy who works there. And they've been running a toddler group very successfully. And what they're finding, though, is obviously now that the free childcare hours kick in, how do we stay connected when most of these kids start going to nursery? So once a month, they run Saturday toddlers because they want to keep connecting with these families. And they said, we're not just going to run toddlers, we're also going to have a half an hour service after the toddler group. So there'll be an end point so people can leave if they want to leave, but everyone's welcome to come to our mini service on a Saturday. And so they set it up, and they're a small church. They're about 30 people on the Sunday, and about 50 turned up for the first toddler group over, like as it built up. They've had about 50 connecting adults and children, and the majority have chosen to stay for church each week because they see, or not each month, they've seen it as something where they can connect. And I had the best conversation with him recently because he suddenly went, I've just realised my problem is we've called it toddler church and they're turning four and they think they can't come anymore. So we've been thinking about actually how do we mix this up? How do you change it to keep reaching and connecting with those families? And that church have been trying for ages to reach their community and they said it was just like something suddenly went and something's changed and something's shifted. back at the Hand in Hand conference, the one where Steve got the award, the guys from a drama company, who actually I think are based in Malvern, told the story of where Jesus says, cast the nets down again, and they got a great catch of fish. And the guys there said, I just really feel it's a prophetic moment for the church to say, with youth and children's work especially, don't give up casting the nets down, because the catches are coming. We've got to just keep faithfully praying and putting the nets out. And story after story, that's what we're seeing, that people are fascinated to know, why do people worship this king? In a world where we can look at leaders and think, I'm not quite sure what choices they're making and why. They want to see things with integrity. They want to see people working with authenticity to say, actually, I believe this and I'm going to live my life like it too. That's the difference that Jesus can make to people's lives. So how do we welcome the king? How do we worship the king? And then there's wondering about the king. Wondering. Now, Generation Alpha, they're the young people who were born. So at the moment, they're between 2 and roughly 15, 16 years old. Generation Beta, the ones being born at the moment. But Generation Alpha, when they've done research into this generation, they're known as a generation who like to wonder. Now, we see that a lot in children anyway, don't we? Like, they like to wonder, they like to ask really awkward questions at the awkward times. But this generation are seen as particularly wondering. They like to wonder. I wonder what that might mean. I wonder what's going to happen here. I wonder what it means for us today. And they don't take one person's answer. I've got 2 children, they're 5 and 7. I can tell them anything. They will ask Alexa to clarify whether it's true or not, what I've said at points. And I'm like, I can tell you that that is true. And they were like, Alexa, is it true that? And asking for a second opinion. They live in a world where information is so easily accessible. We're not, as a church, we're not the only voices they listen to. But there's something about their wondering that they go, but what is that? If I can have the next slide. There's that part in the passage when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Who is this? And I think that's the question that many children and young people have about Jesus now, is who is this? They're seen as the post-Christendom generation, the generation where even their grandparents didn't go to church. But then someone else said, no, they're not the post-post-post, they're the pre-Christian generation, they're going to become Christians. If you look at the stats of where the church grew and where the decline happened and where it grew, the last time we saw the decline like we've been living through, the thing that changed was the Sunday school movement. And what's going to happen now as children and young people start finding a fascination about Jesus? Who is this? How do we help them to answer those questions? How do we help them to wonder about the king? If I go to the next slide. There's a story so we have a resource called Rooted, which is about building relational ministry. And there's a group up in Newcastle who've been running it, and unintentionally, it became a group where loads of refugees have come together at it. So they've had loads of Ukrainians and others who've all moved to the country, and they've sort of formed this youth group. And they say it's really funny because as a church, that's not something they specifically have prayed for. Like, they wanted to reach anyone and everyone. But for these kids, it became a real lifeline for them, that they've come together, they play games together, it's helped them to learn English. And so they, within Rooted, you do questions about who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And they thought, you know what, we're going to put a question box out for these kids so that they can ask their questions, because it's easy to assume what they want to know, but what actually do they want to know? And they imagined that the questions were going to be things like, you know, who's your favourite footballer? What team do you support? Nope, the questions, they did one thing about prayer, and someone just casually shared in this conversation, oh, something I do when I worry is I pray, because I believe God can help me when I pray. The questions in the box after that, what is prayer? How do you pray? Who do you pray to? How do you do that? Do you have to do certain things? Do you have to look certain ways? And it wasn't just one, there was multiple questions all put in because they had no idea what prayer was. And the guys leading it said, it's fascinating, isn't it? When you live in a generation that haven't grown up with Jesus in the same way, they don't all know what prayer is. In schools, often in gathered times, they all still have to have collective worship, but you have a moment to reflect at the end. It's not often called prayer. And even if the Christian visitor goes in, they often say the line of, I'm going to say a prayer. If you want to make it your prayer, you can say amen at the end. If not, sit and think about this. And so they had no concept of what prayer was. And so then they went through talking about actually how can they pray? How do they equip them to pray? And they did the teaspoon prayer. So they gave them all a plastic teaspoon to take home with TSP written on it. And just did the model of thank you, sorry, please, TSP. And they said, why don't you put this next to where you go to bed? And every day you can be remembered. If it helps, you can hold it. Thank you, God. Sorry, God. Please, God. And they said, it's as simple as that. You can say it in your head. You can say it out loud. And they said, something shifted in this group now because they all started praying. And they all come with different prayer requests. But they had no idea before about what prayer even was. And we were reflecting then about how much we take that for granted, because we hear the word prayer all the time. But how much do we need to unpack to help them to ask questions? How do we position ourselves to be ready for that? There was a church, probably about 50 miles from here, I think it is, and they were hearing stories about these young people turning up at church, and they were pretty frustrated because they're saying, well, it's not happening for us. And so as a church, they prayed. And there was one lady in particular who led these prayers. And she's like, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for God just to bring them through the doors. And that these young people turn up, just like we're hearing in other places, that they just turn up. And so as a church, they've been praying. And they prayed one Sunday very specifically for this to happen. And the next day, some of these ladies, there was four or five of them, were gathered in the church together for their like small group time. And as they were gathered together, the door opened at the back and in walked four young people. And they said, oh, hello. And they, can we help you? And then one of them just said, we want to find out about who Jesus is. Can you help us? And they walked into the door. They prayed and something happened. Others have been praying for it for years and are still waiting to see the fruit. I give both sides of that. But for them, they said there was a real intentionality about how do we pray for these things to happen. And because they'd thought about it, because they'd been praying about it before, they said, you know what, we're going to position ourselves to be ready for this. If someone walks through the door who doesn't know Jesus, we're going to give them a Bible and say, this is where you should read. You should start here. And put a bookmark in to suggest maybe they start in the New Testament, because the Old Testament takes you on quite a journey quite quickly. But actually, if they want to know about who Jesus is, let's start at the New Testament and then go back to the Old Testament. We had a camp I was running a couple of years back, and one of the young people went up to Dave Newton, who's National Director of Scripture Union. He was there to visit, and they went up and they said, I've got a question my youth worker reckons I should ask you. And he was like, okay. And she said, can you explain to me why in Isaiah it says this? I don't really get it. And she had this conversation, pulled out the Bible. And he looked at this and he was like, wow, you look like someone who's read your Bible well. And she said, I know. I got given it 4 months ago. I've read through it twice. And I just keep going back to different bits that I don't understand to get clarity. And he said he was stood there so massively challenged about why he hadn't read through the whole Bible twice in the last 4 months either. But the sheer hungerness that she had come to know who Jesus was, and she thought, I better read the Bible. And so it was just missioning through to ask these questions. Who is this? What's this about? Why does that link with that? And they ended up having this massive conversation about Isaiah. And there's that hunger and there's a fascination because they've got no idea. So how do we help them to understand that? How do we help shift the gear? I was talking at another conference recently, and we're talking about church. And they said, but the thing is, church is boring. I said, not to any children and young people. If they've come to your church, they've come for a toddler group, they've come for a holiday club, they come for one of your outreach events, don't speak the word boring over things that aren't true. Church isn't boring. Church is the place where we gather as the people of God. Church is family. Church is a place where people are going to love you. Church is a place where people are going to support you and cheer you on. There's actually nothing quite like church. And in communities where we're seeing growing stats of loneliness, the church is the hope that can change things for people. But I wonder, who is Jesus to you today? As we think about that wondering moment, the crowd asked, who is this? Who is Jesus to you today. As we reflect, we're going to sing together and think about what it means to worship Jesus, what it means to sing Hosanna today. Why don't you stand if you're able?